This evening, I want to begin by noticing with you a lesson that is recorded for us in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, and begin reading in verse 10. Luke chapter 17 and verse 10. So likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. I want you all to listen to that verse as I read it again. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. And immediately the question comes to my mind, who's done that? Let me read it again. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you. I must sadly confess I haven't done all the things that have been commanded of me. But if you have, if you're here tonight and you have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. So Jesus is teaching us here in these words that if we've done everything right, if we've done everything that's been commanded of us, we have no reason to go to God and say, well, God, you owe me. How many of y'all could say to God tonight, God, you owe me? None of us could do that. We ought to just say, I've done that which was my duty to do. And the blessings of God are not something that we can earn in this life. And that's what our Savior is teaching us to do. Now here in Luke chapter 18, the next chapter, Jesus is teaching on the subject of prayer. And when you and I go to God in prayer, we are to go in the way that Jesus teaches us to pray. How many of y'all pray? I hope y'all pray daily, and really, I hope you pray all through the day, because you have access to God all the time through prayer. Isn't that wonderful? To think that you and I can pray to the God of this universe at any time of the day or night. You never get a business signal. He doesn't charge you for the call. And you can talk to him as long as you want to. And now Jesus is going to teach us something about prayer. Let's notice in verse 9 of Luke 18. And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Now, if there's anybody here tonight that's trusting in yourself that you are righteous, you really need to hear this. Because that's why Jesus is giving this parable. He spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous by their own efforts and despised others. Now this is describing the Pharisees. Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. Now let's listen how the Pharisee prays. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself. And the only thing I can make out of that expression is he was praying to himself. And he was praying about himself. He was carried away with himself. Now, he prayed thus with himself. And notice what he says. God, I thank thee. Now, it's good to be thankful to God, but let's notice what it is he's thankful for. He's not thankful for Jesus. He's not thankful for the love of God. He's not thankful for mercy and grace and God's long suffering, he's thankful that he's been such a fine, upstanding person. He's just carried away with himself. Have y'all ever known anybody who just carried away with themselves? That's the smallest package in the world, somebody all wrapped up in themselves. Well, this Pharisee is carried away with himself. He thinks he is somebody. He says, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. Extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. And I'm sure he looked over at this publican and said, God, I want you to compare me with him now. You'll get a good idea how great I am. Look at that publican over there and then look back at me and you'll just see how wonderful I am. He said, or even as this publican. And then he goes on to say what all he's done. If I fast twice in the week, I give tithes of all that I possess. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with fasting. As a matter of fact, Jesus says when you fast, indicating that we all should fast, nothing wrong with fasting, but if you fast, don't do it with a long face. Don't go around looking sad and showing everybody how religious you are by going without a meal. If you're going to fast, do it quietly and humbly, just like your prayers ought to be in a closet somewhere and not to be heard of men. But this man is fasting for the praise of other men. He said, I fast twice in the week. And he said, I give tithes of all that I possess. In other words, I'm giving 10% of everything that I have. Now, this man is trusting in himself that he is righteous. He thinks he can go to heaven by his good works. God, if anybody makes it, surely I will. Do y'all remember that gospel song? I say gospel song, it really wasn't the gospel, but it was a religious song. And Southern gospel people would sing it, surely, Lord, if anybody makes it, I will. In other words, I am so good that if anybody gets to heaven, I'll be there. Well, that was the Pharisee's leading song. I mean, he was all about himself. He's trusting in himself that he is righteous. Now, let's look at the other fellow, the publican. Now, a publican was a tax collector, and the publicans were Jews, but they had sided with the Romans. See, Israel was occupied by Roman soldiers during this time when Jesus came into the world. Israel was under Roman rule, and the Romans were taxing the Jews. And there were Jews who were working for the Romans and gathering taxes to send to Rome. And the more money, the more taxes a publican collected, the more he got, because he got a percentage of all he raised. So the Jewish people didn't like the publicans. How many of y'all like paying taxes? And you sure wouldn't want to be paying taxes to Russia or China. Well, that's what these Jews were doing. They were having to send their taxes to Caesar. So the Jews really looked down on the publicans. But this publican obviously has been touched in his heart by the grace of God. And he's been convicted of his sins. He realizes that he's a sinner. And so let's notice his prayer. Verse 13 of Luke 18, and the publican standing afar off, he's not on center stage, he's somewhere out there off to himself, ashamed of himself, convicted of his shortcomings and his sins, and he says he would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. That's one reason we ought to bow when we're praying. Would y'all agree? He wouldn't lift his eyes up to heaven when he's praying. He smote upon his breast because his heart is heavy with his own guilt and his own sins. And notice his prayer. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now, how many of y'all have ever asked God for mercy? I ask for mercy all through the day. And I'm glad his mercies are new every morning. His mercies never running out. The Bible says that his mercy endureth forever. You know, there's one of the Psalms, and I forget right now which one it is, but every verse in that Psalm, and I think there's 10 verses, every verse in that Psalm ends with this expression, his mercy endureth forever. How many of y'all can remember that? Now, if you remember that, you've just memorized one half of a Psalm. Did y'all get that? His mercy endureth forever. And it was so important that every verse in that psalm was ended with that expression, his mercy endureth forever. David knew something about the mercy of God. And let me tell you, you don't deserve mercy. You don't earn mercy. You don't earn grace. Those are given to us by a merciful and gracious God. So this publican who has been convicted of his sins, he says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He didn't point over to that proud Pharisee who's been over there bragging and boasting about all he has done and what he hasn't done. The publican doesn't do that. He just says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. You may say, well, Brother Sam, that's not much of a prayer. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. 7 words in that prayer. That's a very short prayer, isn't it? And you say, that's not much of a prayer. Well, let's read the next verse. Jesus says, I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself, and that's what the Pharisee was doing, shall be abased. And he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. Now, I want to just say tonight, brothers and sisters, you and I ought to be very humble in this life. We ought to be clothed with humility. And how can you ever know when you're humble? You know, if somebody got up and said, I'm the most humble person in this church, you'd know something's off key there, wouldn't you? How do you know when you're humble? Well, that's a good question. Maybe y'all can answer it for me after service is over. But I'll tell you one way to help all of us be humble is to be truthful about ourselves. I was visiting with Sister Laverne Reynolds this afternoon at home down in Cochran, and their son, her son and daughter-in-law was in there, and we were talking about getting old, and I said, you know, the trouble about a mirror is it won't lie for you. And her daughter-in-law, Sister Ann, said, isn't that the truth? She said, I halfway feel pretty good till I look in the mirror. Now, you young people don't get this. Y'all will get it by and by. But the mirror is very honest, isn't it? It tells the truth. Well, I want to tell you, God's Word tells the truth. And when you look in the Word of God, James said, you behold yourself in the Word of God, and it's like a mirror. And you think, well, I'm coming up short here and I'm coming up short there, and I don't love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and might. I sure don't love my neighbor as I love myself. I'm not praying for all my enemies. How many of y'all are batting 1,000 in the service of God? Anybody here tonight? No, I can tell you right now, as your umpire, I can tell y'all striking out at the plate a lot. Amen? I mean, just striking out at the plate. And you need to be asking God for mercy, like the publican did. God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you what Elder Darty used to say when I was a kid growing up here, and it would rattle my cage. Let me tell you. He would say, now what if your whole life was going to be played on a screen right up here, behind the pulpit for everybody to see. Not just what you've done, but what you've thought and what you've said. How many of y'all would sell tickets and get everybody you can to come to your movie? I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, we'd all be crawling under the rug, I'm afraid. But you see, God knows all about us. Thank God we don't know all about everybody. But I will tell you, God knows all about us, and yet He loves us. And He loves us with an unconditional love. See, that kind of love, it blows our minds. There are people in this world that are easy to love. You can just love them all day long. And there's people that's hard to love. I would think that all of us would be hard for God to love because He knows all of our weaknesses, all of our wrinkles, all of our blemishes, all of our failures. And yet the Bible says He loves us with a perfect love. And let me tell you, beloved, if you can ever begin to understand in your life how much God loves you, and His love is unconditional. See, that word unconditional is a beautiful word. How many of y'all understand the word unconditional? It just means there's no condition to it. In other words, God loves us unconditionally. We don't deserve His love. We don't earn His love. But His love is unconditional. Furthermore, His love is eternal. It has no beginning. It has no end. He said over in the Old Testament, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Y'all want to know something about the unconditional love of God? Look at His Son hanging up there on the cross. Who in the house tonight deserved that? Who in the house deserved Jesus taking your place and hanging on that cross for your sins? We have to bow our heads in shame and say, I don't deserve it. But He loved us nonetheless, didn't He? He loved us with an unconditional love. And His love is eternal. It'll never end. Had no beginning, has no end. And so, when you begin to have some understanding about that, see, the perfect love of God casts out fear. You know, that's what the Bible says in 1 John. John said, fear hath torment. And I want to tell you, Halloween's coming up, and you'll probably hear about spooky things. I imagine spooky movies will be coming on. Alfred Hitchcock. Y'all remember Alfred Hitchcock? I tried to watch one of his movies the other night right by myself called The Birds. Have y'all ever seen that movie? I don't recommend it. I had recorded it and I thought I would watch it. But I texted Nelda and I texted my girls. I said, I tried to watch The Birds tonight. Betsy said, you know you didn't do that by yourself, Daddy. I said, well, about halfway through it, I started fast-forwarding it. I wanted to see the conclusion of it. That was a scary, scary movie. Alfred Hitchcock could scare the daylights out of you. And yet I heard that he was scared of eggs. He had a phobia. But you know, there's dozens of phobias, all kinds of phobias. The number one phobia, I guess, is fear of snakes. I qualify for that one. And heights, a lot of people scared of heights. Heights have never bothered me till lately. But I had a big old limb on my shop the other day, and I had to get Samuel to come over and get it. Old people don't need to be on ladders. But there's a lot of things in this world to be scared of. Listen, but I want to tell you all this evening, when you begin to have a comprehension of God's love for you, I'm talking about a perfect love, a love far exceeding your mother's love or your father's love. Is there a love greater than a mother's love in the universe? When God would try to help us understand His love, He would use a woman's love for her child and say, though a woman forsake her suckling child, her nursing child. And that's almost unthinkable, isn't it? That a woman, a mother, would forsake her child. But it has happened. But God says, I will never forsake you. How many of y'all could trust in your mothers? Y'all had a good mother. I did. She was strict. Brother Sonny said the Marine Corps missed out on a good drill sergeant when they didn't get my mama. She was tough. She has raised 15 kids. Somebody had to be tough. But I want to tell you, she was loving. She'd get up in the morning, cold mornings, in that house down the road here, when there was no central heat. I mean, there'd be ice on a glass we left on the mantle, and Mama would get up and go and build a fire in the fireplace and cook a breakfast and have it ready for us when we got up. Now, that's love, folks. Are y'all with me tonight? Now, when she called breakfast, she meant for you to be there. But she loved us. But I'm talking to y'all tonight about a love far greater than your mother's love or your father's love. It's God's love. You say, Brother Sam, he's the eternal being. He spoke the universe into existence. How could he even recognize a tiny little person like me? I don't know, but I know he does. You're special to him. I want every child in this house tonight to know you're special to God. You're more special to him than you are to your parents. And when you begin to get a comprehension of that love, see, that's what we're called on to do, is to try to tell God's people how much God loves his people. And John says, fear hath torment. I want to tell you, if you're just living in fear, now we all have moments of fear, understand. When we see a rattlesnake, I went to a cross-country meet yesterday in Macon. I hadn't seen Amanda and her kids in a good long while, and Audrey and Olivia were running 3.2 miles. I enjoyed being there, and beautiful day for such a contest. And I told them at lunch, I said, you know, my brother Dan took track when he was in school. Y'all didn't know that about Dan, did you? Well, he did. Dan could run. He was fast. He was great. And one day, he was picking plums on the fence line between our place and Brother R.E. Noble's, and he was enjoying those plums, and all of a sudden he heard a noise, and it was a rattler, and it was coiled, and it was close enough to hit Dan. And let me tell you, Dan took off. I won't ever forget seeing him run down that Noble's Lane to the Cool Springs Road. I mean, he was fast. He was scared. Now, let me tell you, I'm scared of rattlesnakes. How many of y'all just love rattlesnakes? But listen, Dan didn't have a spirit of fear to take over him, where he was just tormented by that the rest of his life. See, Paul talks about a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. Now, yeah, if you're on an airplane and it starts bouncing all over, and I've been on some of those, you know, you'll feel some fear. It'll improve your praying. But I don't want to leave that airport just tormented with a spirit of fear. See, a spirit of fear is when it takes over. And you just live in fear and torment all the time. Fear hath torment. God has given us the ability to have fear at the appropriate time. You throw a little kid up in the air and they show no fear at all, that's not a good sign. That child is mentally balanced. To be able to be fearful at the right time, that's a good thing. But let me tell you, you don't want a spirit of fear on you, do you? You just want to live in fear all the time? I'm going to tell y'all something else happened to me last night. I was sitting there talking to Nelda on the phone, and we have this ADT alarm system at our house, and all of a sudden, about 10 o'clock, it said, shop door 1 open. Nelda said, what was that? I said, that was the shop door opened. And I went out to look and hollered. Nobody answered, I tell you. She said, call 911. I hung up and called 911. It took them too long to get there. Two policemen showed up. Well, you know what had happened? We had a lot of wind yesterday, and that door had not been completely shut, and the wind blew it open. But I tell you, I had enough fear in me to call 911. I wasn't going to go out there with a baseball bat. That's the only thing I've got. So fear is a good thing at the right time. Y'all understand that. But you don't want a spirit of fear. You don't want to be tormented by fear. And John says fear hath torment. There's nothing more tormenting than to just be fearful all the time. Now, what's going to help with that? He said perfect love casteth out fear. The only perfect love I know anything about is God's love. And if God loves me with a perfect love, and he's promised never to leave me nor forsake me, so that I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I'll not fear what man shall do unto me. Let me tell you, when I began to have a comprehension of God's love, it just makes me feel safe in his love. I like that song. Let's sing that one. Safe in his love. How many of y'all feel safe in God's love? Now, y'all got problems God can't handle. Y'all are in bad shape. But after all, he created the universe, didn't he? He's got all power in heaven and in earth. He loved us enough to give his only son. And let me tell you, when our beloved Apostle Paul was being taken in Rome to have his head cut off, for Jesus' sake, I don't believe he had any fear at all. He said to live is Christ and to die is gain. So you and I can enjoy that. So let's remember now, after we've done all that we've been commanded to do, we're still unprofitable. So we've just done what was our duty to do, right? And let's not go to God and say, now God, you know, I checked off all these boxes and you owe me. No, no, sir. Anything we get from his hand is a gift. And we just praise him and thank him. And let's live with a growing understanding of his love. Paul said, I want the Ephesians to understand the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of God's love, which passeth knowledge. Thank you all for your good attention here this evening.